A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brialso Lake puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care-to-be-great.
Noon hour is here, and you're locked on to Utah's highest-rated, most listened-to sports radio station.
It's my station. It's my station.
This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G, presented by U First Credit Union on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hey, welcome on in, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Hans Olsen, Scott Gerard. Hey, buddy, how are you?
Well, we are at one of our favorite places to be, and I'm excited because they are a presenting sponsor. They're one of our absolute favorites. We love being on location here, and we don't get to get out this way enough. In fact, I don't know if we've been out this way since we were at Don's across the street, having people honk if they didn't like Gordon Hayward's contract.
Wow, that's a throwback right there.
I mean, I don't know how many years that goes back. It might go back a few. But I feel like that's the last time you and I were up in this area.
I think that's like 2015, somewhere around there.
So Scotty and I are in Cottonwood Heights, and we are at U First Credit Union, and we have Jazz gear. We have Jazz gear, and it's first come, first serve on the shirts. But you got to come in and say hi to Scotty and I, and you have to give us some type of show memory, because we've got these jackets, these Jazz jackets that are incredible.
These are like $140. Is there a price tag on those things?
There is. Let me see. You were almost there.
$150. Wow.
Yeah, these are really nice Jazz jackets. They're a zip-up hoodie, and we've got a 2XL, and let's see, do we have all 2XLs? Yeah, all 2XLs, and all you got to do is and you can't be in the place right now. You got to come from your car. These are $150 Jazz zip-up hoodies, jackets, really nice jackets. Looks like waterproof, too.
Yeah.
Just come in, tell us a show memory. Again, 3 2XLs, and it's the first ones that come in from their car and come say hi to us.
7220 South Highland Drive here in Cottonwood Heights. U First Credit Union, again, 7220 South Highland Drive. Come on by, hang out with us, and let's go down memory lane together, shall we?
Yeah, and why don't you just come check out U First Credit Union? Come see their incredible customer service, and come find out their incredible rates and some of their great promotions that they put on for the customers out there to kind of give back to the community and the good customers that they've got. I've loved working with these guys. And as you know, Scotty, yep. I've turned a couple of different accounts over to U First Credit Union because of the way they treated us on remote. So I love what they do. You'll love what they do. Come say hi, grab a Jazz jacket and or a Jazz shirt. We got those two.
Snot Rocket 6. Is that the name of it?
Actually, Snot Rocket 8 and 9.
8 and 9, okay.
Two newly formed LLCs.
Oh, really? We got two new LLCs. Yeah. Look at you.
I had some legal obligations that I had to take care of.
When the man says you need a new LLC, you make a new LLC, huh?
Got to protect your assets, Scotty.
Yeah. We're all about covering your assets, right?
Uh-huh. And U First Credit Union does a really good job of that. So come down and check it out.
All right. We got a busy day. Hey, by the way, we actually have a soccer update throughout the show today. World Cup soccer updates.
Sponsored?
Every one of them by U First Credit Union.
Darn right.
Lloyd.
Darn tootin'.
Has the United States scored yet? They have?
No.
Oh. Well, the darn tootin' got me all fired up.
Well, I said darn tootin' because it's sponsored by who else?
Oh, yeah.
Like you said, I said darn tootin'.
U First. Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, delays thrown us off a little bit. So let's just revisit here. Lloyd, has the United States scored a goal yet?
No.
Okay. There's your scoreboard update.
Brought to you by
U First Credit Union.
That's it, huh?
That's it. That's all we got for you.
Hey, I heard the promo coming in. Lloyd did a good job of putting promo together for the show. And I was mentioning the mock Big 12 schedule that I put together.
Yeah.
This is for BYU 2023. You ready?
So this is you putting a schedule together.
Yeah.
Okay.
Based off of what we know that they've got in form of out-of-conference games and what we kind of see on the horizon with how the conference might play out with scheduling. So this is the mock schedule. September 2nd, they open with Sam Houston. September 9th, Southern Utah. September 16th at Arkansas, and then it's Houston, Kansas, OK State, Kansas State, West Virginia, Texas, Baylor, Central Florida, finishing at Oklahoma.
So you left Texas off just for fun.
I did, yes. Okay. Yeah.
They're probably not going to get Texas and OU in year one.
I wouldn't imagine, but what I'd love to see is the Big 12 penalize both Texas and Oklahoma and send them to Provo.
There you go. Oh, you guys are leaving?
That'll teach you.
Guess what? You're going to go to Central Florida, and you're going to go to BYU. Enjoy that.
Enjoy those two crowds.
All right, let's transition. Let's talk to Utah State football. Blake Anderson, head coach of Utah State, joining us for his weekly conversation.
It's time to talk Aggie football with the head coach of Utah State, Blake Anderson. Presented by Macy's. Happy shopping on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
And joining us now, head coach of Utah State, Blake Anderson. And, Coach, how are you?
Hey, Coach.
I'm good. How are you guys?
Very good.
We're doing all right. Doing all right. So you've had a couple days to decompress after that game against Boise State. And you and I talked a little bit on postgame. There's a couple ways you could look at it. First off, your guys fought through injuries. You fought like crazy. You're down 21-0 right out of the gate. And then you come back, and you're 11 yards away from taking the lead and probably winning that game. So there's a lot of good you can take from that. Then also the fact that you couldn't get it done and a couple late touchdowns to be extremely frustrated about. So where do you sit after you've had a couple days to kind of look back on this one?
Me personally, I'm on the frustrated end. Super, super proud of the guys and how hard we played and that we dug ourselves back in it. And to go on the road there with the history of that game, I mean, I was told – that week, 1996, the last time that Utah State went on the road to Boise and won. So I clearly understood what we're up against, but we were there. And we did claw our way back in, and we've got to finish. Regardless of the roster, how many young guys are playing, how beat up we are, when you are there and you're in that position, you have to find a way to finish it, and we didn't. And that's the hard part for me. That's the way I'm built. We have to, as coaches and players, make the plays, create the opportunities to finish in that environment and get the win. And ultimately, it would just be a matter of pride. It wouldn't change the outcome of the week, wouldn't change who plays this week. But for us, it would have been a huge step in the right direction moving forward to show that we could find a way to win in that environment, and we didn't. So proud of the guys, disappointed for them, not necessarily in them, but very frustrated that we had it within grasp and didn't do it.
Coach, give us a breakdown of Cooper Laga jumping in, taking over the reins, and finishing out this season. How did you feel about his performance all the way through that Boise State final and your expectations of him now going into a bowl game?
Well, my expectations are that he's just going to continue to evolve and grow. We've seen bits and pieces throughout the year, glimpses of great feet, glimpses of just competitive moxie and just a guy that's poised. But every once in a while, you'll still see that immaturity of a throw he shouldn't make or a sack he shouldn't take or decision that is only going to get better with time. So I think just another step towards that in the bowl game, whoever we end up playing, wherever we play, trying to get us to seven, that to me is just where he's at. He's just gotten continually better. He is only going to get better as he goes through the offseason and just really understands exactly what we want and how we want him to do things. But he's given us a chance to win every week. It has not been without mistake. We knew that, and he knew that as well. But he's learned from them and has continually played better and better each week. So a tough environment last week, calm, made a couple mistakes you can't afford to make, but also put us in positions to win. And that's really ultimately his job, is to put us in positions to win, use the talent on the field around him. And if we can eliminate the turnover or two and eliminate a sack or two here or there, he has got a tremendous good things ahead of him. Just a tremendous skill set, approach, work ethic, desire, all those things to go with just a little bit more experience.
What's this week like for you? Because you won't know probably until this weekend, Saturday or Sunday, where you're going to be playing. You might get probably some hints beforehand, but what is this week like for your team in terms of trying to keep guys ready to go, but also knowing that you're really unable to prep for anybody specifically?
Yeah, we need some time to let these guys' bodies heal up. We're beat up really bad, and I'm hoping we get a few guys back for the bowl game. It's possible, but I think we counted the other day. We were like 25, 26, 27 guys that would have typically been traveling and in the two deep and playing that were out this last couple of weeks. So right now it's about healing up. Meetings with our guys all week to just kind of see where their head's at moving forward, really encouraging them that the bowl game is the first game of next season. I've been really excited about the attitudes and just the responses with these guys, just how excited they are about how we finished and just the run that we went on the last month, and excited about getting back at it. So I've been really pleased there, and recruiting. Now, we can't be on the road this week. Typically, this would be a contact week, but they changed the rules where we are actually in the house. So we'll lift and run a couple of days, but we're not going to practice. We're going to let guys heal up. We've got to get healthier to have a real good chance to make a good run at this bowl game. And right now is the best time to do that with as many big bodies, especially, as possible.
Do you have a bowl game wish list that you put together, Coach, or is it whatever comes?
Well, for one, just being in one, you want to be in one every year, and we're glad to be in one. I've always kind of taken the approach, if you're at the 6-6, 7-5, be grateful you're playing and thankful that you got there. If you're at the top of the list, you kind of know where you're going. So I really take the approach. We'll go wherever, whoever, whenever, and play. Just for the kids, you play earlier, they get a little bit more break. You play later, sometimes it bleeds into their break and into when they come back. So you'd love to play early, but man, we're ready to go play somewhere.
Blake Anderson, he's the head coach at Utah State, kind enough to join us here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. There's so much evaluation going on right now because you were able to play so many young players, and I know it was probably, you may have lost some hair or picked up a few gray hairs throughout the process of having some youngsters out there. But in the long run, you're able to evaluate. You're able to get some eyes on some kids and some game time situations. It may have been painful over the last couple months, but the dividends that can come from that, I got to imagine, are going to be great coming, next year and the year after that.
Yeah, there's no real way to simulate live game reps. I mean, you can put them in practice reps all you want, and even scrimmages in spring. But when there's a scoreboard and there's a win-loss record that is attached to it, the intensity and the pressure that comes with that, preparing for an opponent that you only see for a few days instead of going against yourself over and over again, it's just different. So every rep that we got is going to be beneficial. And there were painful reps at times, no doubt. But we battled and we won some games that would have extremely difficult to win, especially considering the roster, how young we are and how beat up we were, and all that is going to benefit these guys. Great reps for them to learn from, even some mistakes that we made they can learn from. You tend to learn those lessons, the hardest, and they tend to stick with you the most because you don't want to do it again. We we'll get them healthy. We'll recruit and add to the roster and try to bring back as much of this roster as we possibly can. And what we've gone through the last month and a half and every rep those young guys has got is only going to help us be more competitive a year from now.
Coach, when you look back at your last couple of years here with Utah State and you just take a look at what you've done in the transfer portal, guys like Hunter Reynolds, Byron Vaughns, this year's Daniel Grzyak, about what percentage do you feel like you're hitting in the portal with guys that you bring from the portal that jump on the field, that contribute? What percentage have you hit over the last couple of years?
Well, if you take the word contribute and say, are they helping your team in some way, we're 95%. Now, are they the best player at their position? Are they an impact player? I would still say our number is extremely high. But you mentioned a few. I mean, Brian Kyle, the year he had, Terrell Vaughn, didn't come from the portal, but he's a transfer player. Grzyak, MJ, and those guys are impacting our team in huge ways, even down the stretch. You know, a guy like Omari Okeke, who ended up playing significant snaps at nickel. It wasn't necessarily John Ward, who played significant snaps at the end before breaking his collarbone. I mean, if you look across our roster, it's a strategic approach to the holes that are there where you're still trying to grow up young guys. And I think we've hit on it really at a really high number. It was probably easier to see year one because we had such a good COVID senior class to go with it. This year was such a small senior class, only six seniors altogether to go with the transfers we attacked it with. In a young roster and injuries, it looked different, but we would not have been able to be 6-6 without what we did bring in, without the guys that did come in and make huge impacts. Now, a lot of the guys a year ago, I would say, were a little bit older, more veteran players. This year, a lot of our transfers were younger and have a lot more time left ahead of them and are going to continue to grow and develop. And we'll see just how big of impact they can make down the stretch. But this year alone, I would say at least 90-95% of them were impacting the game in some way, whether it be offense, defense, or special teams. And that's what we've got to continue to do. The ones that we take need to be able to come in and help immediately. If they don't, then we should go take a high school guy and develop them over a five-year period. And that's what we try to talk about every day, guys, is if we feel like they can come impact the game right now, it's worth taking a transfer. If not, we need to take as many high school guys starting in the state of Utah, develop, so we get a blend of the two. We don't ever want to go all the way one way or the other. I don't think you can be competitive at this level right now in that environment without working both ends of it.
Well, Coach, I think they might have dropped off on us.
Okay. So, well, I don't know how much of it they heard or didn't hear, but
yeah, they were kind of in and out. But well, you know, good luck going forward, Coach. Good luck in the bowl game. And go get them, all right?
Appreciate it. Thank you.
That was Utah State head coach Blake Anderson, who joins Hands of Scotty weekly. We'll get the guys dialed back up next segment. You're listening to Hands of Scotty on 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone.
Turn it up.
Utah, USC. It's the Pac-12 championship game as the Utes look to punch their ticket to another Rose Bowl. Your home for the best coverage of Utah football is right here on 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone. You're listening to Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, the KSL Sports Show.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. All right. Apologize for some of the hiccups today. We'll get through it together, though. We're going to be okay.
By the way, the Jazz jerseys or the Jazz jackets, they're gone. Didn't expect them to go off the table the way they went up the table. It was very fast. But three beautiful zip-up Jazz jackets are gone. We've got two shirts left. I think they're both larges. And that's all we got left. We've been wiped out. That's the most people we've had come in a 5-minute period, maybe in the history of our show.
But you can say hi to our smiling faces.
We'd love to see you. You
can
come in and just check out all the amazing things you've got at U First Credit Union, too.
Because absolutely.
These are great people.
Great people, great rates, great opportunities for you. Whatever you need a financial institution to do for you, from just setting up your kid with his first savings account to putting together your mortgage, your HELOC, all that stuff, they can put it together for you here at U First Credit Union.
Come in and open up an account for your kid, and they'll pay them for the grades.
Yes.
You give them an A, they're going to give you some money in that kid's account.
In fact, you don't even need to tell your kid that. You just say, I will give you $5 per A, and actually it's U First Credit Union that will be doing that for you. But don't tell your kid that. Just say, like, I am doing that for you.
Every A you get, I will put money into your account.
Yes.
Never mind where it shows.
Doesn't matter where it's coming from. Just know we got you squared away.
Well, these people are great. U First Credit Union. Come say hi. Again, two Jazz shirts left. The Jazz zip-up hoodies are gone. We apologize.
Well, I'm not going to lie. I'm a little bummed out that we had some technical issues with Blake Anderson, because there are a lot of things I want to talk to him about. Number one, I don't anticipate Blake Anderson is going anywhere, but guys are putting together staffs right now. A lot of new coaches, a lot of new hires. So he's got to protect. He's got to be like a rooster protecting his hen house, because there's going to be a lot of, you know, he's got a defensive coordinator who I think is as good as any defensive coordinator in the country, in Ephraim Bonda. Like, I think that dude is phenomenal. He's got a good offensive coordinator in Anthony Tucker. You've got, you know, guys all over the staff. Kyle Whittingham's going to have, you know, people like, you know, Arizona State just has a new coach. He's probably looking for Pac-12 coaches to fill out his staff with. You've got a lot of people starting to put their staffs together. They're going to be looking for successful coaches. Well, there's a lot of successful position coaches, coordinators here in the state of Utah, and I got to imagine that there are going to be opportunities that you're going to have to fight off.
Oh, yeah. You'll have to fight off some people for sure. So I asked him about his percentage hit in the transfer portal. I think that we've got kind of a new era coming with college football, because people are going to take a look at that USC design, and they're going to say, how did USC do it? How did they go from getting four wins to getting themselves to potentially college football playoff eligible? They did two things. They hired a big-time coach, paid him big-time money, and put a lot behind him. And that coach and his staff jumped into the transfer portal and brought in a load of goods. Remember when I did the USC breakdown the last time Utah played them? How many players that are contributing for USC are actually transplants as compared to original USC recruits? I'll go back and get the numbers. I'll find those numbers again, because I did tweet them out. But it's incredible the amount of talent that USC brought in out of the transfer portal and how they've contributed to get USC to where they're at. That's why I asked Coach Anderson, the Mount West Conference Championship last year, and putting together some wins after figuring out the quarterback position, putting together some wins, enough wins to get yourself bowl eligible this year. A really nice win against San Jose State and a really nice late season push to get yourself bowl eligible. How'd you do it? Well, they did it largely through transfer portal, and they hit on guys like Hunter Reynolds out of Michigan.
Yeah.
They hit on guys like Byron Vaughns out of Texas, like Daniel Grisiak out of Nevada. These are very good players. And
I mean, you go back to last year, you can go Logan Bonner, you go Brandon Bowling. I mean, all that offense.
Rice.
Calvin Tyler.
And is Rice.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, Justin Rice.
Justin Rice, the linebacker.
Yep.
That team was loaded. So what I'm saying, Scotty, going back to his staff, I think people are going to start to pluck these coaches that have a really good sense of transfer portal out of these programs and build staffs that recruit these portals well, that understand the talent, that have the connections to guys like Will Snowden, that know what talent is in that portal and what that talent can do to assist your program. There are guys that know a lot about the talent that's sitting in that portal. Some are on staffs like at Utah State, some are on staffs at USC, but what we're seeing is there is an eye for talent that's in the portal, plucking that talent, being able to put them into a fall camp and having them really contribute to the success of a season, to all the way to the point of maybe being college football playoff eligible.
Yeah.
Alabama's not having to do it because they're getting the five stars. Georgia, five stars. These guys probably supplement a little bit with the portal because they lose some depth.
They do.
To the portal.
They do.
We just saw Ohio State's losing their backup quarterback. I think Michigan is losing their backup quarterback. We're seeing these quarterbacks that are like, now I see the writing on the wall. Wait another year minimum to get on the field, so I'm going to jump into the portal. So they lose some depth. Maybe they go get their depth. But for the most part, I think that they're recruiting and grooming their talent. But teams that want to jumpstart, USC. Teams that are group of five that feel like they just lost a bunch of talent, or BYU that's about to lose 30-plus players. You better have guys that can identify the talent in the transfer portal and how those guys will fit into your program, how you can use them, because it's impressive. What ended up happening with the safety out of Miami?
I think his last game was the Wyoming game, and then he was sat out for disciplinary reasons and then injuries, and just at that point, that was one where he was a solid contributor for about 3/4 of the season, and then for multiple reasons did not finish the year.
Because he was a good safety.
Yeah.
But you go through USU's roster, what they won the Mountain West Conference Championship with last year and what they put on the field this year to get bowl eligible. What are we looking at? Starting and contributing, 40%, 30%?
I'd say somewhere between 30 and 40%.
Right in that range.
Yeah, I'd say that's a safe assumption to make.
So have the coaching staff that can do that. And that's why, to your point about being poached, USU's probably got a couple of guys on that staff that are very poachable because of their transfer portal understanding. And I'd go after them. And I look at BYU and their situation where they're now looking for a new defensive coordinator, and who knows what else potentially they're going to be looking for. They're going to want to find guys that really understand the portal, how to manipulate it, how to pull from it, being able to identify that talent, building it. BYU's got to get really good at that. Because you know what I think is the best way to get yourself Big 12 ready? Get a couple of 20-year-olds, 21-year-olds that have been in a strength and conditioning program, that have had some college-level coaching, that are looking for another chance, that are hungry to get on a football field looking for another chance. And you can go into that transfer portal. You could say, you ready to jump in the Big 12 with us?
Yeah. I'm looking at, by the way, I'm just looking at Utah State's two deep on defense. 9 out of the 22 on their two deep are transfers.
So just about 40%.
Let me pull up the offense here real quick. Because I think the offense is probably a little similar. Give me a second here. All right, so here's their offense.
Their offensive line
is actually all homegrown. Let's see, one, two, three, four, five, six. All right, so about six, or actually, let's call it seven.
Seven out of the 22
on their two deep offensively are transfers. More on defense. But, yeah, you're looking in that 30 to 40%.
Yep. Hey, we're pretty good at guessing stuff.
I know, right?
Pretty good at putting numbers together. We should do more math on air.
Yeah, you know what? I think what we've learned from this is that we should probably do more math on the radio.
I think it sounds good when we do math on air. Who do you think they're?
It's about 30 to 40%.
But we nailed it, man.
But yeah, it's about right.
Who do you think their best transfer portal players is? Was it Logan Bonner last year?
I would say, yeah, Logan. And then Brandon Bowling. Hey, look, Calvin Tyler's a transfer guy and was a good running back last year, was a great running back this year for over 1,000 yards.
Justin Rice
was an absolute beast. Do you count Nick Henniger, even though he was a transfer guy with Gary Anderson?
Yeah, you gotta count him. He's a transfer guy.
Well, I'd probably put Nick on that list then, too.
Did you say their whole line is homegrown?
All homegrown. The starting five, yeah.
All recruited as seniors out of high school.
Yeah.
Brought in the program.
Yeah.
I don't know this, but is there not a good pool of offensive linemen to pull from in the transfer
pool? It's a great question. They did have an offensive lineman last year that was a starter that was a transfer guy that they that left the team.
Yeah.
For some issues.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was named one of the top 50 guards in the country.
Correct. Yeah, that was a big loss. That's why. But now they get a guy like, you know, the guy that filled in for him in Waylon Lapu'ahu.
A true freshman.
True freshman. Mm-hmm. And we, the joke was that Waylon's like, hey, you know, the only time you guys call my name is when you get a holding penalty. That's why I get one or two a game.
Oh, really?
He told that to Kevin White.
That's funny.
It's like, hey, the only time you guys say my name is when I get a holding, so
I'm going to get a couple.
That's why I get a couple every game.
You look at what BYU's done. Puka Nacua, obviously.
Yeah.
Transfer.
Yeah.
I would say, I always hate to just jump out in front of this, but I would say probably the top two, if not top three, graded offensive linemen that this is off my grading, what I watched, would be Kingsley Mateah, the transfer out of Oregon. He was special for BYU this year. Aggressive, couple penalties here and there, but he was a very special player for BYU. And that was a big-time transfer portal pickup. What I'd like to see, Scotty, especially based off of what I saw from USU with Grisiak and guys like Byron Vons, I'd love to see whoever comes in as the defensive coordinator say, we're going to go out and find talent. If we don't feel like we've got talent on this roster, we're going to go out and we are going to splash in that transfer portal, and we're going to bring the best. We're going to offer, find the best, and do everything we need to do to get the best pass rushing specialists in here to put some pressure on some quarterbacks, because that's where they really need to change their stars. Some people could blame it on not focusing on the pass rush. There's probably a portion of that, but I think the one thing they really need to improve defensively is finding a route to the quarterback. If you've got to scheme it a little bit, scheme it. But you've got to have pass rush specialists. What do you think Byron Vons and Daniel Grisiak combined for sack-wise? Over six?
Oh, yeah. Grisiak's got six by himself.
Okay, he did end up with six.
Yeah. In fact, let me pull it up right now. I have not updated the stats on my I don't know if your internet's as slow as mine right now, but holy smokes.
Well, still waiting for a power source.
Oh, yeah. We are literally, we have found like the internet dead spot here.
Yeah. Yep.
Anyway, yeah, a lot of sacks. How about that? How's that for math?
But I believe Grisiak is around six or seven.
Yeah, I know he's, believe he's at six, yeah. Here we go. Let's see. Sacks. Grisiak had 6.5. Vaughn, surprisingly, only one, but got after the quarterback like crazy. Is that right?
Yeah, because yeah. I heard his name called on pressures more.
Yeah,
than...
caused a lot of pressure. So 7.5 between the two. Another homegrown kid, Holly Matuapuaka, with 4.
I look at BYU really needing to go to guys like Logan Fano.
Yeah.
Logan Fano, before he got injured in spring ball, was getting after the quarterback at that linebacker position, kind of that hybrid outside linebacker position. He was great. You go to a guy like Ice Moa, who I think he's got great upside. You get him in the strength and conditioning programs, get him working with the right pass rush specialists, and I think Ice Moa gets you some extra pressure.
Yeah.
These are the homegrown guys that I'm talking about. But still, I don't think you have on roster, I don't think you have defensive ends that have the true speed, the true nose, and true ability to go get you 8, maybe 10 sacks in a season. And that's what you need. BYU, I believe, totaled 10 sacks in this season.
That's an abysmal number.
It was the second worst in the country. just in front of Colorado that had nine.
I think they got three. Let's see. What's the game log here?
Did they rack them up against Stanford?
Yeah, they got three against Stanford. So, yeah, 13 on the season.
So, going into that Stanford game, they had 10. And yep. They were the second worst in the country behind Colorado that had nine.
Yeah.
That's how bad things were.
Which is funny. You know, the most sacks they had in the game this year? They actually had a four-sack game. And that was against probably what we thought would be the best offensive line they'd go against, and that was Baylor. After that, the totals were 1, 0, 2, 2, 0, 0, 0, 0, 1. There was a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6-game stretch from Notre Dame all the way to Dixie State. They didn't get a sack against Utah Tech, where they only got one sack, and that was a sack against Boise State.
Yeah, that shows you how slow that rush was. I know that it can improve. And the new defensive coordinator needs to put an exclamation mark on it. And the first thing they need to do is jump into the transfer portal.
Yeah.
And take a look at some of the artists that have been – some of the specialists, the pass rush artists that have been cast aside or gotten in a bit of trouble or felt like they weren't getting the right reps. And bring them in, give them that second chance. And I'm hoping whatever defensive coordinator comes in puts a real standard on the rush.
So,
because
okay.
Every defense that I've watched focus on the rush always has the better defense.
So there's two types of players that BYU or Utah, or I guess Utah State the same way. They're not all created equal, obviously, but let's just look at BYU, for example. There's two types of recruits that they can get via the transfer portal. Number one is a guy that's at the high P5 level that isn't getting the time or the opportunities. And so you're taking a little bit of a flyer on that person because they may not have the stats or they may not have the production. But you're looking at him and say, okay, well, he may not have done it here at Tennessee or he may not have done that at USC or Oregon, but we get him here. And he's going to be great. Like Puka Nacua. Like, we all thought Puka was great coming out of high school. Puka goes to Washington. He doesn't really do that much. But BYU's like, no, we remembered him in high school. He was in our backyard. We know if we bring him here in our system and feature him, he'll flourish and blow up. And that's exactly what happened. Mm-hmm. But there is a little bit of a leap of faith on that.
Sure.
Or there's another element where you get a guy like, there's a wide receiver I saw last night who went into the transfer portal from Idaho State. I've never heard of the guy. But he went into the transfer portal, and 8 hours later, he had like 10 P5 offers, including the University of Utah. Like, this is a guy that apparently knew that I've got great things ahead of me,
yeah.
Had great production at the FCS level, and he goes into the transfer portal, and boom, it's popping because people know what this guy can do.
Yep.
And so he does have the production, but at a lower level, and... And BYU's like, we need to get that guy because he's proven he can do it at that level. We know he can do it at this level, too. So you've got to find those combination of those two types of players. One's a little bit more of a leap of faith. The other one is, I guess a leap of faith is, he did it at the Big Sky. Can he do it in the Big 12?
Mm-hmm.
And those are going to be big question marks to ask.
But that's why these coaches that can identify the talent
yeah.
and have the connections to the identifiers, because I do believe that there are specialists. I full-heartedly believe that Will Snowden is a specialist in identifying transfer portal talent, largely because he works with so closely with the talent that
yeah.
comes out of the state of Utah.
Yeah.
So why not identify a guy like that and put him on staff? Put him on staff. Because BYU is going to have to jump into the portal. I know that people are getting a little bit critical of Utah State and the way they're moving on high school talent. They don't move on high school talent a lot. At least that's kind of the buzz that is getting around a little bit. But does it really matter if they're going into the transfer portal and they're getting the athletes that are helping them get wins? You can put the high school recruits and the high school offers on the back burner a bit until you get the program to yeah. where you feel like, all right, now we've got the talent, we've got the name value. People know what we're trying to do. Now let's go get our own high school talent, and we'll bring them up as athletes.
Yeah.
Because I kind of feel like BYU's got to do that again.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like BYU needs to reload at the talent, especially defensively.
You know, it's interesting because I've heard that same thing about Utah State as well. And I have not talked to the coaches about this, but their response to that kind of complaint is, we will judge very quickly on a Utah kid if they have a shot. And if they gauge pretty quickly, and again, this is me speculating, but I could see a coach going in and saying, and you know, spending time with the family and thinking, okay, this kid, if BYU offers or Utah offers, he's going there. So do we continue to pour resources into a kid that we think deep down wants to go to BYU and Utah, and knowing that if they offer, he's gone, and we're not going to get him? And if they don't offer, then a Washington State or Oregon State's probably going to offer, or, you know, maybe even Boise State, and saying, okay, let's really focus in on our chances with someone. And if we can get them, great, let's continue on. And if we can't, okay, let's maybe say, hey, look, if it doesn't work out at one of those schools, let us know in the transfer portal down the line, and then go work the transfer portal. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And I think it's just, I think it comes down to an evaluation of what is your real chance and what is the true desire of that kid that you're recruiting. Because why bang your head against the door a bunch of times when you realize that ultimately he looks at us as, you know, as a last-ditch opportunity.
That is such a fine line to walk with the university here in the state of Utah. It's a really fine line to walk. I'll give you an example. There was a kid on my son's team that played at Lehigh.
Yeah.
Back-to-back state championships. And this kid was the heart and the soul of the back-to-back state championships. He doesn't get offered until – he doesn't get an in-state offer until the day of his last championship, so just a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
That offer comes from Weber State. After that offer comes, it was like a flood of offers.
Yeah, yeah.
So you understand what Weber State's doing.
Oh, yeah.
Because Jay Hill's sitting there thinking, man, I'd love to have that kid. Because the kid is a grinder. The kid is a ball of energy, a ball of fire. And you love guys like that. Thing is when Jay Hill identifies it, then everybody else who's looking for a good safety that's got energy knows, well, Jay's not throwing no crazy offers out there.
Yeah.
It's almost like Jay needs to set up some decoy offers.
I know.
Offer some bums.
A little canary trap.
Yeah. Offer a couple bums and see who comes and takes those ducks. Like, so you offer four guys, one of them being the guy you really want, and then three that you can pull the offer just before they write their name on the document.
That's funny.
Because it is hard. I'm sure that Blake Anderson, I'm sure that Utah State gets so furious with that game that they play.
Yeah.
With recruiting. It would drive me nuts.
Yeah.
I see what goes into recruiting these kids.
It's
a lot of money and a lot of time and a lot of patience and a lot of effort.
Well, it's going to be interesting kind of hanging in there and you know, living a little bit vicariously through you, because I think these next 2 years are going to be really fascinating.
We'll see. Yeah, we'll see how they go. I think things have already heated up. Things are getting really interesting already. And
it's like, you know, you know.
I learned a lot, I'll tell you that much.
Well, at various,
I won't let him do.
At various stages in our lives, there's been opportunities for us to, you know, go to other radio stations and do other things. And sometimes we've taken those offers, sometimes we haven't. But that whole process, when you're being courted, so to speak, you think, oh my gosh, this is going to be really fun. But it's also really stressful and really difficult. And that's, you know, that's us as grown men. I can't imagine how difficult that is on a, you know, 16, 17, 18-year-old kid.
It wore me down, and I had a few breakdowns.
Yeah.
I had a few absolute mental meltdowns where my mom was looking at me like, you got to get a hold of yourself, and you got to make a decision. And I couldn't, and I actually didn't make a decision until just a couple of weeks before signing day.
Well, and imagine this too, where you – the only way they could reach you is via the phone or showing up at your school. So you could pull the line out of the phone and not hear from somebody. Now these guys can send text messages, direct messages,
emails.
Snapchats. I mean, they can bludgeon you with contact.
Yeah.
I don't know how kids do it. All right, before we go to break, it is time for a World Cup update featuring Lloyd Cole, all brought to you by U First Credit Union. Lloyd, has the United States scored a goal against Iran?
Yes.
Oh.
And that is your World Cup update.
Brought to you by U First Credit Union.
97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Once again.
Championship game!
Kyle Whittingham and the Utes are back in the Pac-12 championship game.
Champs on three. One, two, three. Champs!
Looking for back-to-back Pac-12 titles and another trip to the Rose Bowl. Listen all week long as The Zone gets you ready for a battle in Las Vegas as the Utes square off against USC. Then catch the Ute pregame show this Friday at 5 with the postgame show immediately following the game. Your home for the best coverage of the Utes in the Pac-12 championship game is right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. As Utes, Cougars, and Aggies,
yeah,
we've got you covered. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G, presented by U First Credit Union on 97.5, the Sports Zone.
Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Hey, real quickly, Lloyd. It's time for another World Cup soccer update. Lloyd, has the United States scored again?
Yes.
Kind of.
Yes.
They did, but there was offsides, so they wiped it off.
So they still hold a 1-0 lead over Iran.
Yes. But, unfortunately, offsides. Whew. Kept United States from a 2-0 lead.
Their service in the box and their shots on frame.
I'm Lloyd Cole.
Sorry, Lloyd. Didn't mean to put you on the spot there.
No, I looked up. I was like, it's in a commercial. I'm like, yes.
Oh, I thought you had like 4 TVs and all of it dedicated to World Cup soccer.
And that is your World Cup update.
And that is your World Cup update. All brought to you by U First Credit Union.
Utah Jazz were in action last night against the Chicago Bulls. Scotty, at one point they had an 11-point lead. And at this point, I just am starting to not really care anymore.
Oh, no. This is where you're back to where it all began.
Well, I am just to the point where I'm watching the talent like Lauri Markkanen, who was spectacular in the first half. 24 points in the first half of that game. It was unstoppable. At one point, I think he was 6 of 6 with 2 three-pointers made. He was going crazy in the first half of that game. Lauri Markkanen, we've identified him as a true talent. Guy that you got to keep on this roster and keep developing. There are guys that you're seeing that are fantastic contributors and great parts of this team and the future. But without Mike Conley on the court, this team has taken a nosedive.
Yeah.
So I think they understand that if they move Jordan Clarkson and they move Mike Conley, this becomes a lottery team.
Yeah, very quickly.
They have already identified some talent as potential future pieces, but I've got to imagine they do want to get themselves in this draft. And I would imagine they engage themselves headed that direction. Whatever they got to do, moving Clarkson, moving Conley, whatever they got to do, I think that they've got to do it. Because right now we've got a 36-win team on our hands and a first-round exit or a play-in exit. For those of you that don't know what the play-in is, instead of having it 1 through 8, they added 9 and 10. They play 7, 8, 9, and 10, a 4-team playoff to grab the 7 and 8 spots. I believe it's more of a money grab. Happened during the years of COVID. And the NBA has adopted it and moved forward with it. I think it's time to get rid of it, but some love it. Some people. Do you still love it? You still like the play-in?
I do. Yeah. It took me a minute. I didn't like it the first year, but now I'm on board.
So I would like to see the Jazz move towards the draft because I think there's so much draft talent. The other point of interest for what you may have missed, Scotty. Karl Anthony Towns with the Minnesota Timberwolves suffered an injury and is expected to be out 4 to 5 weeks.
Yes.
The Minnesota Timberwolves are below 500 right now.
Yes.
They are already on the struggle. For anybody that's wondering why Scotty and I or anybody else would be interested in what Minnesota is doing, well, the Utah Jazz own their first-round pick for the 2023 draft. So it'd be really nice if the Jazz were in the lottery and Minnesota was in the lottery, because that would improve you in 14 spots. It would improve your chances of getting one of the top four, and fingers crossed, maybe the number one.
We need the Jazz to be like Seattle and Minnesota to be like Denver in the NFL. And just watch Minnesota crash and burn. And Rudy Gobert to be Russell Wilson. That's what I'm hoping for.
I don't want it to be that bad, but
no,
that's pretty rough.
That's pretty rough. Man. You're wishing some bad stuff
on
that.
Hey, and Lloyd, I don't need you sending stupid videos on Twitter.
Oh, how good was that video, though? Come on. If you didn't laugh at that, did you not see it, Hans?
I didn't even look at it.
Oh, you should have.
You were so happy. I'm like, well, this isn't anything good. So
I haven't seen it. What was it?
Hands. Boy, sure wish you followed me on Twitter. That would be nice. You probably would have saw it then.
We're not going to get into that now, but what was the video?
It's not that important.
Well, go watch it. I can't explain it. It's Russell Wilson in the Austin Powers, you know, where he's got the little car and he's in the hallway and he's backing it up trying to say, "Hey, let's ride." It's just trying to going down the hallway in the little cart. You got to watch it. It's so awesome.
It's not that funny.
I'm watching it.
It's pretty funny, Scotty. Stop it. Knock it off.
It's really not that funny.
Broncos country.
Honestly.
Let's ride.
Oh, man. Well, let's just say the chances of riding in the 2023 NBA draft are improving dramatically for the Utah Jazz. I want Jazz fans to understand it's such a win-win situation for them. Yes, they gave up an 11-point lead and lost 114-107 to Chicago. Yeah, I watched it. And yeah, I was bummed because I felt like they had that game in hand. I felt like they had that game in the third quarter. And I thought that Larry Markkanen was going to put up potentially some career numbers because he's already been breaking career numbers through this season so far with the Jazz, but he'd racked up 24 points in the first half. And then to watch, there were a couple of things that really bugged me. The clear path foul by Sexton, that bugged me.
Yeah. Can't get away with that anymore.
No, I don't. Things like that bugged me. The Olynyk late turnover, that stuff bugs me. Buckle down, be a professional, understand what the moment entails. And I guess everybody is learning. There's a part of us that kind of got after Will Hardy for his mistake that led to a loss.
Yep.
When he attempted to trap and double team and force the ball out of the hands of, and it just ended up the game ending. Those things drive you nuts. I get it. The small mistakes. And I know that we've got Jeff Saturday and the Indianapolis Colts in sports roulette. We'll get to that. But Jeff Saturday, he's hitting a hard learning curve right now.
Yeah.
That time management was atrocious. And I love the guy. I absolutely love the guy. And I want to see him win a Super Bowl. But that was a big mistake. And he didn't own up to it. He explained what he was thinking. Now, if he had a quarterback that wasn't chicken and understood that it was 2nd and 17 and you had to get the first to extend to 1st and 10 and you couldn't afford 3rd and 3 or 3rd and 4 and you slide early, he slid way early.
Yeah, he did.
If he cared about that game, he'd have gone and got that first.
Yeah.
It was very possible. And to not call that timeout then and leave two timeouts on the board, it's a steep learning curve. We are learning. We're in the learning process with the Utah Jazz. And in the midst of it, is this a 5-game streak now?
5, yep.
5-game losing streak. In the midst of it, you're going to have some of these.
Oh, yeah, yep.
Totally understandable. And I'm willing to accept it because guess what? Tomorrow, you get to see him take on Golden State. You're going to see a lot of talent in Vivint Arena. We've been giving out tickets all day long here on the station. Have we given away tickets? Do we got tickets?
We do have tickets. We'll be giving away tickets. Keep listening for your chance to win.
Hey, Lloyd, Scotty, do you guys, when our station gives away tickets, do you guys get calls from your buddies or texts that say, tell those guys to pick up the phone?
All the time. All the time. All right, Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. I hope you're all well. We're live here. We'd love for you to come by and hang out with us at UFirst Credit Union. Again, we're in the Cottonwood Heights location. You can stop by and check out all kinds of great services. Whatever you need your financial institution to do for you, they will have it happen for you right here at UFirst Credit Union. Let's come on by. We still have a couple more Jazz shirts to give away. 7220 South Highland Drive in Cottonwood Heights. You want to set up a savings account for your kid, or you need a mortgage for you, second mortgage, HELOC, whatever you're looking to do, they've got it for you. It's all here at UFirst Credit Union. You're more than a number. You're an individual here. They understand you got a story, and they want to work with you on everything you're dealing with. It's all available for you right now on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.